Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to Flow Guitar Enthusiasts with Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we welcome back Thomas Nordig. Thomas has been working as Steve Vai's guitar tech for over 15 years and has also worked with Frank Zappa and Dweezil Zappa. Thomas is joined with Don Ramsey, and they've brought in Steve's latest guitar, Thomas, which is equipped with the new Linear Tremolo that was designed by Don. Flow Guitar Enthusiast is proudly sponsored by Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio at www.sweetwater.com. And now here are your hosts, Jeff Flodizzo Floro and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. We have a great one for you tonight. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Been crazy busy editing videos, as folks that might be on my YouTube channel have noticed. Posted over 18 NAMM videos. So stuff from PRS guitars, all the pedals, all the new pedals from Jim Dunlop, MXR and Way Huge. Along with a GoPro and a Fat Rat demo, and then I'm actually exporting right now, as we're on the show, Wampler's new pedal, the Plexi Deluxe.
Yeah, and Uli John Roth liked he showed up at the when we were demoing the Dunlop stuff, and he came up and played, and I just saw that he retweeted that, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was pretty great luck that he showed up, and we had a GoPro attached to the guitar, and he was having fun. So we got some pretty cool footage with that. So,
oh, that's good.
Definitely check that out on my YouTube channel at Selenium. What have you been up to, Jeff?
I've been fooling around with my the LR bags, and I'm setting up that show for us to do a show on that. We had I installed one of those into my Martin. So it's an interesting acoustic pickup with the microphone and with the contact pickup. So it'll be, we got more stuff coming up with that. And there's some other interesting stuff. I can't give dates yet because I haven't gotten confirmed, but there's a lot of new people coming on, and we're going to have some really interesting things happening. But let's not, let's go ahead and go to commercial break, because there's a lot we got to talk about. Don brought some little surprises for us to look at, some vintage gear, and Thomas with Thomas. We got to talk about this amazing guitar. It's a really great one. So we'll be right back, and we'll be here with Thomas Nordig and Don Ramsey.
Hi, Kenny Burgle here from Sweetwater. We're super happy to support Jeff and Scott and the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Show on LA Talk Radio. You can see all the specs and pics of your favorite gear and amazingly low prices online at sweetwater.com or call us at 800-222-4700. Every week, Jeff and Scott welcome heavy experts and industry mavens, exploring the coolest guitars and basses, pedals, amps, strings, accessories, everything you need to rock. Sweetwater sells all that cool stuff, so listen to the Flow and then check it out online at sweetwater.com or call one of our pro guitar enthusiasts at 800-222-4700. Don't forget that Sweetwater has 24 months equal payments, no interest financing available too. Check that out at the bottom of every Sweetwater webpage where it says easy financing, and hit the red apply now button. Thanks for listening. This is Kenny Burgle and Sweetwater saying rock on with the Flow.
All right, everyone, you are listening to Jeff and Scott on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, and I'm Paul Reed Smith from PRS Guitars, and that's kind of what's going on. Enjoy the show.
We are back, And we are very honored to have back with us Thomas Nordic. And he brought with him today the guitar named after him, that Steve named after him, called Thomas. Welcome back, Thomas.
It is. Thank you so much.
Now, you got a couple of things on here that are a little bit different, and we have the inventor of one of the things that we have on there, the linear trem. And can you tell us real quick, we'll start with that, why... Tell us exactly what it does so everybody understands exactly how the mechanism works in contrast to standard tremolos, floating tremolos, and then also why you like that.
Well, as actually Dr. Andy Hildebrandt, who is the creator of Antares for the vocalists of the world, and came up 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago now, with the concept of having auto-tune for guitar in the guitar, meaning being in tune but intonated like... you know, hell or high water, you can play. And his thinking was when he saw Don's bridge that the fact that it does not move up or down like any other bridge, if you really would go down all the way, you know, you'll fret out, as even Steve Wright does on his guitars at times, depending on the weather, whatever. So this one never happens here. You can rest your hand on it, and it'll stay. It only goes back and forth in a linear level, therefore not compromising at all the action of the hex pickup that delivers all the auto-tune intonations and sounds and doubling, you know, all the function that the auto-tune system brings that is on board, and, you know, it's the big chip in there. And
so the auto-tune, is that using the hex pickup?
Yes, correct.
So one of the problems with a standard, like a Strat floating bridge,
correct,
or even a Floyd Rhodes where it pulls up, is that it gets away from the distance between it and the strings and the pickup change when you use the whammy bar, which can cause havoc with the pickup.
Yes.
Tracking. With this one, since it moves just literally back and forth, it literally your string to the distance between the string and the pickups is the same throughout.
Yes.
And you can also adjust, right, how much it goes up and how much it goes down?
Of course, individually, like on the Floyd Rose, you have only left or right, up or down. Here, you recreate the radius of the guitar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You got on the back of the headstock here the two tools that will do that, two Allen keys. You loosen one center, one first, and then go up and down, retighten, lock. Don will totally elaborate on that, of course.
I think he's asking about the excursion.
You can adjust that as well right here. Don will get into the deep mechanics of how he translates this up and down motion to a totally straight result.
Well, go ahead. Now, he has Thomas on right now. We have it in an amp. So show him, first of all, how high you can go up. Now, he's pulling it back.
That's great.
So it's two steps, or a whole step.
Minor third. Right?
Okay, then how far does it go down?
Down you go.
So he's... Auto-tune. And I also want to mention that he's not using a clamping nut.
No. Jeff Beck knows a thing or two about what not to use or not. And that's the Trev Wilkinson, made in Japan these days, because Trev doesn't make them anymore, but that's Jeff Beck's...
So that's a Wilkinson bridge.
Correct. Okay. Nut.
It had to be.
I'm sorry. But, yeah, so...
Yes.
And what's the advantage of the Wilkinson nut? Is it a roller?
Yes.
Don?
The three lower strings is a single roller, just over. And the higher strings, it's over and under, so that you keep down pressure. That headstock doesn't need it, but that was the problem with another nut, the LSR roller nut. It just didn't work. You know?
Too steep an angle.
Yeah.
In the design.
Okay.
Pressure.
And that's what Beck used. That's what a lot of people are using that now.
Yeah.
So it's amazing because I always thought that clamping was the way you could get the whammy bar to go limp, the strings to go limp. Mm-hmm. But obviously, you don't need that. It's actually pretty amazing how far down it goes.
The trick too is don't wind much string around the peg, just the minimal amount. Just
really?
And lock it. Yeah.
Okay, so you're using locking tuners on there, right? Yep.
Well, these are Steinberger, the only tuners to me. Steinberger's gearless tuners invented 30-some years ago from Ned Steinberger. Because why do this, then contort, no disrespect, of course, to this, when you go like 15th century straight back like a lute, 40-to-1 ratio, really, so you can make music with it. See, like right here.
So what he what he's explaining is these tuners are like they look like similar to banjo tuners.
Yes.
The key is behind the headstock.
Shortest distance. Easiest.
So you just turn it. Yeah.
And you don't have to look. You know.
But do those lock? They don't lock.
No. The way they work. If you let's say I can't even do it here right now. The A. I go all the way down till it dead stops. Right now it dead stopped. Right. Then there's an opening. Right. At dead stop. That's it. You pull the string through. That's always in the orientation to the saddle, straight. Pull, lock it, tighten that down. First you open it, let it down.
Okay, so you can tighten, you clamp it.
Yeah, now it's clamped.
And then tune it up. I see what you're doing. Okay. So literally you can just put the string in. You don't have to have any slack. Just clamp. It clamps and then tune it up to pitch and that's it.
And 40 to 1 is actually a misnomer. It's 40 breaths to 1. It's like a micrometer thread, real fine.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it's a real. I've played with it and on the last time he was here, and it's a real easy. It's a real fine adjustment that you can do. So let's go to Don for a minute. Don, tell us a little bit how you developed this and the steps that you know. Give us a little bit of your background too, but also how you came about with this design because it seems pretty unique. I've never seen anything like this.
It came from all the problems I had with the old 59 six screw tremolo. I had. I was always coming back sharp on the G string. I tried to use it full floating. It was just a nightmare trying to keep it in tune. Of course, I went with the locking Spurzels and a slippery knot on the 59 that I have in there. It's a LSR now instead of the original bone nut. But it was primarily going out of tune all the time and breaking strings within hours. I was constantly having to restring.
Where were you breaking? Was it more on the bridge or on the nut?
At the bridge.
At the bridge.
From bending that metal. I used to cut wire by hand by bending it and bending it, snap, you know.
Right.
And that's what was going on. And while it's going on, you're going flat all the time as the string is breaking right there.
Now, does that bridge, they don't lock there, right? It just threads through like similar to like a regular Strat. Because you have a bar.
Not even. It just, the ball drops. It's much faster than threading through the hole. See right here? The ball just drops from the top and locks.
You just drop it in.
Oh, okay. So there's like a little slot and then it
right
just goes right
here.
There.
Yeah.
So that's fast.
Faster. Yeah.
Really fast. And you can, besides adjusting the distance, you can adjust the height.
Yes, and even
so, you have it curved to the fretboard,
right.
And then can you adjust the width?
Can you? Yes, you can fan them out.
You can move them wider. That's very cool.
You can release the two screws in the back and you know, rotate the bridge to favor one side of the neck or the other, or fan them out.
Okay,
or condense them.
Because I think Schaller makes a replacement for the Tunematic. And that's the only one I've known that you could actually adjust the width of the strings, which is important.
Yeah.
A lot of people like a little bit narrower.
Right.
So, but go ahead and just show us a little bit of this. Play a little bit and show the tremolo, because it does go back in tune pretty well. It stays in tune.
And the strings last and last. I restrung my guitar for NAMM because it would have been the third year in a row with the same strings.
Now, that is so cool.
Well, but of course,
you're using the the Sustainiac, right?
And no delay. And minute. You know, so it's all there.
Yeah.
There's no, it's effortless. And again, ATG, of course, helps. So, for instance, this is Steve's created these presets. So, like, E, then you have a drop D. Right, next
now, that's is, using the hex pickup with the guitar.
Hex pickup. Yeah. And Dr. Hildebrand copied the DiMarzio's into the. This would be the Vi, if I'm in the sound thing here. That's Vi's pickup sound, you know. And then, of course, they have all the other pickup sounds. You know, and reacting digitally even here with the tone control and the sustain off.
Now, that harmonic that you're hearing, almost like
that was a sustainer, yeah.
That's the Sustainiac. It's funny because I have the amp. We're using a little Marshall amp, but it's very clean. I'm not using any distortion.
Yeah.
And he's getting these harmonic feedback things.
Standard tuning, back to standard, and that pickup, yeah. And Antares, just to mention it here briefly without getting too deep, I mean, I've been 2 years now a fan of this and involved, but you can change all these settings by fret control. That means if I would, the E string gives you the different guitar models, each fret a different one. The A string, see, now we can kill the sustainer.
Yeah, that's it.
It's like your best friend. Always
it's so controllable. That's what gets me.
Well, this is the one that Steve Vai is using, the Fernandez one, you know, which I think Alan Hoover is the fellow who invented that one and mm-hmm. the Sustainiacs in our day and age. And the A string gives you different tunings, right? You can go here now to the A, each of these six position switch, right, gives you access now to alternate tuning. So regular tuning, alternate tuning then would be drop D here. Then that got, right? Is my radio still good? Batteries? I think, yeah, my battery might be going.
He's actually using a wireless system. The transmitter is in the body, and then he has the. We have a receiver here just to demonstrate what he has in there.
Wireless,
the whole back of
the
body has all this stuff, this electronics back there.
Sustainer, the wireless, and the auto-tune system, you know? And as I said, here you can park your Evo in just in case. I mean, we're on really low here. No, I don't want to play too loud here anyway. But that's what's offering. And, of course, the ATG system, either control with this or fret control or open E would be this. Right, and go back to normal just by this. Right, with the thing. So you... Yeah.
Well, actually, let's show how the Antares works for a second here.
Okay.
Play the guitar straight. So it's probably out of tune.
Out of
right
tune,
now.
Yeah. Well, it's okay.
Now, that's just the straight pickups.
Yeah.
So actually, now, make it out of tune.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can hear them.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so the guitar is out of tune. Now, right. Watch this.
Then I
or listen to this.
The Antares on. Give it a string retune.
That's the Antares
open E,
you suggested.
Right? Now I want to go back to normal. Hold on. One more time. Go back to the regular number one, Steve's preset. And here. It's string tune, solid tune. So you have that. By the way, why this is lower volume than the other one? Because you can set, if you plug your iPad into this input here, mm-hmm. 7-pin, then you can, on the iPad control, which I have outside, can control all these things with touchscreen. And there you can set the magnetic guitar, reference, gain, and tone to make sure you have a match on whatever pickup selector you have, position you're in. So then, because right now I don't have unity gain because this is louder. Oh, this is out of tune now. Sorry. Regular guitar is out of tune. But Antares. Okay. And. Well, we fooled it now. Let me see. Okay, that's good. And now regular. Well, I hear the real guitar through. This is an anomaly that you have to get, unless you know. I hear the real strings being so wrong and not loud enough on the...
Yeah.
Can we turn it up a little bit?
Yeah, let me turn
just
it
a little
up.
Bit. Just a little bit to get... You know. Otherwise, I'll put it back in tune anyway. Now, I'll tell a quick story what happened when last NAMM... A little more, maybe, just for that. Keep that over playing. Yeah, last NAMM, Guthrie Govan actually played this guitar on a song where he needed a drop D guitar. So that mm-hmm. was instantly there and in tune. But by the regular strings having been out of tune from the demos prior that day, he didn't get the natural feedback that the strings, even if he plays a different tuning on Antares, would give him from the amp.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be in tune, actually. So I'm going to do this here really quick. I go roughly.
And you can hear, while he's tuning, you can hear how fast and accurate those tuners are.
Yeah, yeah, no. I'm doing a rough one now. Okay. Without sustainer. A rough. Okay. So that's okay. Let's see, right? Okay. If we had a tuner here, you would really hear it. Which I should actually have a bit nice, if it's into photography, the iPad, if you have it, boom, it locks like this.
Now, does Steve use an iPad on stage now to control?
No, not yet.
Or you
not
do?
Yet. Yeah.
Backstage, you'll have it.
Well, they will have a Bluetooth version. That's the next generation coming up, where it's like the H9 Eventide, for instance, or Line 6 has a foot controller, a nice guitar board now, where you stream wireless from your iPad into that and, you know, into your guitar board and play along in your amp so you can play alongside. Okay? So anyway, so a few more, many. A great feature here, the capo. Right? 12 semi-notes up. Sorry, capo. Here we go.
It's all digital. He's not capoing. That's just great.
Thomas, can you show us some of the other features that that guitar has? Because we saw your... Because this is basically the final version of the Evo replica that you brought in before.
Yeah. It's correct.
Oh, there you
Mayday,
go.
Mayday.
Now, where's the LEDs?
Well, the LEDs, of course, here.
Oh, wow. Let's see if I can get that. I don't know if I can get it.
Now, you want the six-string bass guitar? Let me reset here.
Are the neck LEDs set?
We're back to normal. Now I'm going to go here on capo down.
God, here, of course, that's amazing.
Here from.
Now, I'm also using... We're using a little amp, so if I had a big amp with 15, you'd feel that bass.
So let me ask you this. On that guitar, we know that one of the things that Vi likes to do is, you know, he likes to pick up his guitar by the whammy bar and kind of
do his thing.
Can he do that with the linear?
Let's see. Yeah, of course you can. He knows the exact angle where the weight distributes even, and his arm is, which I'm not that savvy with, but and I got my strap. But you see, let's say now I have it ring. Something like that. I mean, I'm trying to, right? Harmonics. Again, we have so little gain here, but you would hear it and scream.
There you go. That's the Sustainiac, yeah.
And again, from to this. And back to normal. We're still in the low register here. Regular tuning, Steve Vai. And still down here. That's it.
Does he temper his tuning at all? Do you know?
Well, I mean, the Antares does that. On the Evo, on the other guitar, not on this one, you have here on Flow 2, there's a true temperament. And on his Evo is a true temperament fretboard. That wouldn't work.
When you're tuning the guitar with the regular pickups,
right,
you have to temper it, right?
Well, I mean...
Is that pretty accurate?
It's pretty accurate. It goes with what, you know, that sort of government issue. But, you know, if you don't have true temperament frets, you just harmonics. This one and this one, make sure the intonation's right, and it stops. That's as deep as I can go with intonation.
Oh, okay. But you don't notice that with those guitars when you first got them, before you even modded them.
Right.
If you had a temporal... Because I know, like... Some of my guitars, you can tune it on the tuner, but then you got to kind of just adjust it to get it to sound good.
Right.
That's a Sustainiac. I love that.
But you play harmonies even. Both notes. You know? You can, you know, play to it. I mean, Jeff Beck plays, you know, a whole 5-minute solo with whammy bar, you know?
So you have, now let's go through the pickups real quick. You have, besides the Sustainiac.
Yeah, that's just a dummy. There's nothing here. And then just a 2D Marzios, you know.
So you have a single coil and then a humbucker one.
Yeah.
And then you have the hex pickup, which
it's called
the
what are they called?
Shadow.
Shadow, yeah. There's a mini humbucker, like two poles, you know, per.
Oh, that's not the standard Roland.
But, yeah, Roland would work, you know, but Dr. Andy prefers that one for his, you know, noise floor-wise and so forth, you know. And then that system, of course, and then the tremolo bar, where this the new tremolos they have, it's only, I think, this long, the actual tremolo. The rest is just no weight, you know.
Yeah. Well, I noticed that on one of Don's guitar, there's another bar that you have on there. You don't have it on there, but there's another one, the palm.
Yeah.
So you have like a little, and we have pictures of it, and we'll post those up.
Well, he has it. I have it here for Steve's guitar.
Oh, actually. Does he use that?
Not yet, but he will.
Yeah, because you can actually, it's just like a little small bar. Actually, yeah, you can just hit it with your palm and bring the pitch up.
So he does.
Yeah, I knew on the drawing board that I wouldn't be able to do that on the back end of my tremolo, so I put two holes in there.
Yeah, I think there was a little, the only other guy that did that was Kaler. They had like a little, like a little palm thing, a little, it wasn't like yours, but it was like a smaller one that you could actually hit up on there. Now, let me ask you this, Don. What does it take to install that? Is there any routing that has to be done? I can see that it has the same, like, block, like a normal Stratocaster, and it's just two springs in there. Is that all you need? Is just the two, or does it matter, or is that what's preferred? And then also too, how did you know to put it on there? What did you do? Did you have to cut into the body a little bit, or what?
It's a proprietary cut.
Well, I start with a standard two post fender,
okay,
and then I add a little bit more depth around the whole perimeter of the tremolo, and then another secondary pocket that the linear bearing sits down in. Then there's two holes that go through to the back, and then a block that you clamp it through the body, you know, so the whole sliding portion of the tremolo is locked to the body via
oh,
two screws.
Okay.
And by loosening that, you can skew the tremolo a little bit, and then you can fan the saddles out individually or move those.
So there's like a bolt or a set of screws under it. I'm going to take a picture of
correct
it. That and he's that shows the where it bolts. So the actual slider movement. There's it. It's hard to describe this, but basically, right under the bridge, there's a little like a little roller
linear bearing.
Yeah. So it rolls on there, and it's real smooth and it's real sensitive. So you can. It moves really quickly, no friction at all, and it's real. The when you play this, it's just effortless. It really just it's.
You can see it in here, Thomas. There, you can get a glimpse of that component.
Okay, he's using the Ebow right there.
Catch it. Still catching it. So anyway, Ebow and
the Ebow, yeah,
and park the Ebow right here.
Okay. So the tremolo is basically two parts. Let's go a little more into that. It's two parts, and it pivots on a single pole, right? There's like a center.
Actually, that's the contact point. You have a knife edge here. One is straight, and one is V-shaped. So
right.
You've got two points on this one that keep it, you know, in position side to side. You've got one here that's a floater.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically that screws into the rotating portion. So what it is, it's a rotary, which we all are familiar with, to linear converter. Mm-hmm. And I had to come up with a way to do it with no friction, so the interface is actually rolling.
Mm-hmm.
There's round ball with the adjustment screw inside, and that's a straight, and it rolls. It translates this to solid with no movement.
Yeah.
Yeah, the strings are preloaded against that.
Now, did Don route that and set that, or did you do it?
No, he did do that one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's not that difficult to do?
No, standard. Probably easier. My Luthier in Austria, Michael Spalt guitars, best. Then Ibanez and Alan Hoover. So all these people worked on that guitar. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot myself here, too.
Yeah, because it seems like from what I can see of it on there, you're not like... On his Evo, on Steve's Evo right. guitar, you had a good cavity for that Floyd to go
right.
back.
To
so there was like
out.
A big,
yeah,
this
yeah,
one
yeah.
is not that much, it doesn't seem like it's really taking that much wood out.
Right. No, less wood, that's for sure, right?
On the Float 2, for instance, I couldn't use that body, too much was missing.
Right.
So Ibanez gave me a blank wood body and I started with that.
Okay.
And then Michael Spalt, I worked with him on the first two that he did, so he's been able to do wonderful installs. Really.
So if you had a Floyd Rhodes routed body, it might not be enough wood in there for you?
It depends on the spread of the posts, too, but I've been able to land it in Music Man guitars, in Wilkinson tremolos, and
right.
Fender two posts.
So you recommend basically a stock Fender body routed for a stock Fender tremolo. Because I know the Floyd, depending, especially if they want it to go back, you got to really cut a lot of it out of there.
Yeah.
So if you're going to use one of these, use a standard Fender body with, that hasn't been really routed out, just a standard tremolo.
Well, I've done it on a few that have the 6 screw, but I'd have to fill all that and put the posts in myself.
Right.
It's a lot more work.
Now, what's your thoughts on the bridge? It looks like you don't have the string angle very high or at all. Is there any reason for that, for sustain or tone or anything like that?
I think, just from layman's perspective, but logically, it's like you mentioned the sharp angle here, or on some people in the Les Paul that go to the tailpiece, like this sharp down, it doesn't make sense. You choke the string. You want it to be basically with nothing, just about,
Well, that's what we've heard that before, and that's the model for steel guitar. If you ever, they have a real abrupt angle at the bridge and at the nut for sustain, but it also creates more tension, so it's harder for guitarists to bend. As I understand.
Yeah.
I prefer.
Well, this is less tension.
Just enough so that you don't sitar at the knot.
Yeah. Well, with the Sustainiac Scott, I really don't think he has it. I don't think sustain's a real issue. I mean, this is incredible.
It's sustainer, right? Not Sustainiac, right?
So this is sustainer. Yeah.
Oh, sustainer.
Steve,
I'm sorry.
Right, yeah. Not Sustainiac. Yeah. But the Sustainiac is, you can say, the newer, further. I mean, the options, like on my Les Paul, it's much easier to pull, push, roll for the, roll in and out of, as opposed to, do that smooth,
So Vi has used the Sustainer, or has he had the Sustainiac on any of the others?
He has it on one or two guitars he has it, but that he doesn't play yet.
And these are made by Fernandez?
No, they were the ones he has, the Sustainiac also is a Ibanez.
Ibanez.
Oh, yeah.
And this Sustainer is made by
Alan Ibanez? Alan Hoover. He's the creator of all of them. Even the first one where you had to put a piece of metal here with two cables down here. It was,
That's crazy. So how do you think, how do you think Steve I is going to use this guitar in his concerts?
Well, he wants to, what he said, for his next album, to hang the guitar around and play every day until he's falling over. He wants to end it 3 triple CD-ing in a bloodbath. So I'm just quoting. So he postponed that now a little bit because he's doing the anniversary of Fire Garden Suite, and I think we're going to go on the road with that too. But he wants to use multiple loopers, and synthesizers just to go, like Sonica style, if I may call it.
Well, speaking of which, it looks to me like you have the 10-pin system in this, or is it 10?
No, this one doesn't have a 13-pin. You mean
the 13? Roller. Okay, sorry.
No, this is just the connection for uploading and downloading and reading the iPad for the Altara system.
That's not your
Sonica. And if in the studio and using non-stop ATG, then you plug that in, this little PV box, powered it, and it gives you the power to the ATG. Unlimited, from the wall, and the connectivity to your iPad at the same time.
Ah, cool.
And this is version 3.0 now of Antares, so the noise floor is much lower, and they improved really nice acoustic guitars now too. Really, really nice, you know.
That's incredible.
I still think I think for his shows he ought to use the he ought to have the audience member pick a random tuning and not tell him what the tuning is and have him play it.
Right, right. Oh, he does on these every night that we build a song. It was called.
Yeah.
Where some kids come up and then just go and then the most important part, he says, his vocal, the guitar part, so people had to sing and Steve had to play right away, you know, and remember it later when they assembled the song as a piece, you know.
How is it, he's played this guitar now?
Yeah.
So what does he think of the tremolo?
Oh, he loves it. He loves it. As he said, verbatim, you know, he said, I love this tremolo. I love this. So he felt it right away. How can you not, you know, I think.
Now, Don had mentioned that he had made a one-off 12-string version of this. And that you have a 12-string guitar. You brought the body, and we'll take a picture of it. But you have you ever thought about, too? I've seen some bridges made for bass. Do you think you ever might go to that?
I have one.
Oh, you have a bass one, too?
It's a precision bass.
Yes.
That's great. So, because I would think, you know, Steve has those double neck guitars. He might want one of those on his 12 string.
Yeah.
What's the materials used on the bridge?
Aluminum in the back where it didn't need the hardness, just the carrier for the linear bearing, all the heat-treated steel is attached to that. And then in the front, the base plate is 440C stainless that's heat-treated to 60 Rockwell, so it's through-hardened, you know, that knife that should never wear. The saddles are 300 series stainless. They're not heat-treated. They don't really need to be. The knife edge is the same 440C stainless.
Oh, okay, so it's stainless.
So 60 Rockwell.
Because a lot of guys had told me that were like the vintage guitars with the Floyds with the stainless steel, it changed the tone. And I don't know what was the material for a Fender bridge, but it wasn't stainless steel, if I'm correct.
Probably not.
It's just low carbon steel with a nickel plate.
Oh, okay. Right.
Nickel.
Now they carburized that front edge, you know, where the knife edge meets on the two posts, but I have a Jeff Beck tremolo that I took to Dan Smith's office. He was all excited about this to me. He retired immediately following. Mm-hmm. But the post wore about halfway into that knife edge because they just carburize it, meaning it's got a hard skin.
Yeah, I've seen them wear out, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the sound would be, the sound of this bridge, of the bridge pieces would be closer to the older Fender sound, or do you think it would be just, it'd be its own?
Well, Phil Brown has one, and he says it has overtones like none of his other guitars, and he has a huge collection.
Okay.
And Scott Henderson, too, went back and forth between his guitars and my 59.
Yeah.
He just raved about it.
Now, the Wilkerson nut, what is the material on that? Do you know? Is that stainless steel, or is that just some type of...
I'm not sure. I think that the body is made of stainless, but the rollers are little sleeves. Actually, there's a pin that goes straight through, and they create the radius by having different wall thicknesses on the mm-hmm. rollers.
So mm-hmm.
If they weren't loaded with the string, they would rattle like crazy. But once mm-hmm. you put the string in there, it settles all that down, and it works very well.
Now, while we were talking, Tom just put a capo on it. And then he used the Antares to bring it up, so he's got like this real high pitch thing.
So he's on the fifth fret with a capo. How many pitches up are you?
Octave
up.
So that means if you put a capo on before you turn Antares on, the computer takes this as a zero fret. Therefore, you go even higher than you could tune, you know?
Physically, if you tried to tune your guitar at that pitch, you would probably break every string. It's physically impossible. So you're hearing something that probably couldn't be done.
But you have the facility. It plays easy. How can you be that in tune? I couldn't tune the guitar like that. No way. Never. Because I explained it now wrong because I just still don't get it. But he explains of Hildebrandt that in the physics, laws of physics, nature, that between two harmonics, it's not in tune physically. So he corrects that too. And therefore, you have
Carl Yeah, Bach, no, you know. The physically, a guitar, you can never get it exact. It's just like we had Scott's dad on a couple of weeks ago talking about pedal steel. And if you tune it to the tuner exactly right, you'll be out of tune with the rest of the band. So they actually have tempered tuning to make it fit. And it's just the physics of it that... But that's amazing. I mean, the Antares totally compensates for that.
Sure does.
I mean, that's, you can't beat that, you know? And then even, and that's no delay, nothing. So, man, you know,
yeah, he's playing really clean and not really loud in my amp, and he's getting all that.
So let me ask this question, Thomas. Since we just got done with NAMM, what did you see at NAMM that you were blown away with?
Well, I must say, again, in credit to one of the great people here in music business, my world, for the wireless, the Guy Coker, who invented 97, 98, the X-Wire, called X2. That was the first digital wireless with no companding, no compression going on. And to this day, no data compression wireless. Other manufacturers still use it. So he came up with that. Vi had one sitting when I started in 99 with him, and I bought already two, so he used it with his guitars. He said, I like that better than the cable. I remember him saying that when he first tried it. 3 years till in Italy the cell phone 900 megahertz came, stepped on it. So, of course, then could never use it again. And over the years, Guy Coker went sold his rights to Sennheiser a while back. They came up from 20-bit, which his system was, the X-Wire, to 16-bit. Evolution, it was called. Didn't do well at all. I think he got the rights back in his wireless directed line 6 for quite a while now. And they just now came up. I used the whole year and a half now on G90 on their system. Not one dropout. You can toggle between two live channels. That means I can walk out, give them the other guitar, and without, I don't have to wait, and I will turn on and off for any, no problem. So that, but the new one now, not only does it have an accelerator in the back, you have 5 guitars on one radio, you put it down, it falls asleep right away, and the other, and you push the button on the receiver, you walk by, different color on the switches, so you know, green guitar, red guitar, blue guitar, right? And on the guitar itself, the input jack, the output jack rather, is also a little color ring, so you know always where you are, and 1.47 milliseconds latency, that's not even for Vi. That's not, you won't notice that, okay? That's the lowest. And anyway, so that was a great thing. And the new Firehawk pedal, I was really impressed that they also have. Very simple, super easy to understand. And they're coming up with something fantastic because Yamaha bought Line 6 last year. And the boss from Yamaha is a guitar player, the main person in Japan. So he gives them carte blanche, whatever. You know, whatever they want to do. So some great stuff coming from that.
From Line 6.
Yeah, really good. Really.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad that they're still...
Oh, yeah.
You hear about so many places being bought up and then they disappear.
Right,
you
know? Right. No, so. Totally. Really, really cool.
So, the where if somebody wants to get this tremolo, where do you go? Who can install it? Besides Thomas.
No, I couldn't at the tremolo. I'm not luthier, but well, he for one and.
So Don, how would one go about that?
Well, it's going to be a little bit of lead time before I'm tooled up here in my home shop, but I've got to do another run of castings, so I'll probably ramp that up a little bit. I'm about out of hardware, and you know, I had a fire in my home recently, so I'm going to be a little while before they clear up my garage and I'm able to go back to work. And I'm selling the company that represents my day job, so that's going to free up my time.
Okay, so you'll be doing that, but I will. Has anybody else? Are you planning on having other people learn how to do this so that you have more people available?
I'd love to.
Okay.
There have been only a handful of people who've been able to do it to my satisfaction.
So I wanted just to mention, too, you can take a look at this, too. It's www.LinearTremolo, T-R-E-M-O-L-O, instead of T-R-M-E-L-O, com, and it shows exactly what he's doing and how to, you know, how it works. And you can also, I think the website gives your contact information.
It does. My email's down at the very bottom.
So you can contact him, because this is definitely, if you're, this is something to think about if you're planning on putting in a tremolo system and you want something that's pretty accurate, and especially if you like also too, it seems to work really well with the Wilkinson nut. So if you guys are, you know, because a lot of people, since Jeff Beck has been using that, a lot of people like that. So I recommend that, but then so they can get a hold of you on the linear tremolo.com.
The Wilkinson nut is a must where you have a real steep headstock angle. If it's a guitar like a Strat type where it's almost a straight string pull, then just slippery nut material will do the job.
Is there any other nut that you recommend, or just that one that works?
I like the Urvana because I can raise my strings a little bit and I don't get rattled on that first fret. You can really get some amplitude out of open strings, and it compensates.
Okay.
Where I used to temper like
yours. Right, right. And Thomas, what else? Any other nut that you recommend, like that's?
Well, I'm on my Les Paul. You know, I the LSR nut. Right now, in fact, I want to mention that Dr. Andy kindly is going to have like the told us this is the one that's going to be called Super Paul. That one is Spalt, Michael Spalt Paul that we put together. But the Super Paul is a gold top that has, number one, the Evertune bridge, but, you know, the Weidemann's partner creation. That is fantastic. Last year was with a country guy a few weeks at Capitol Records. His, all these guitars, the Evertune, which is a physical with six springs underneath, physical thing where the guitar really stays in tune and intonated. So that one, then the Antares system, a sustainer, of course, standard equipment, kill switch, Steinberger tuners, and radio, of course, in the back. So that'll be the Super Paul. Hell or high water, you're in tune, you know, physically and electronically. And what the beauty is, if you have the, if you play the, you can have both sounds, you know, so regular guitar, different tuning on here, infinite possibilities. And by the way, I want to mention Dr. Hildebrand, version 3.0, coming up very soon, is where you can also have user-programmable tunings that are really, so then you can go anywhere. You can make one user-programmable tuning right now. For instance, this fellow that I met, Alex Hutchings, that Don introduced me to, he played in the Boss booth. Unbelievable British player, like Guthrie Govan, you know, same thing, British invasion of guitar players here. And he had a tuning, I think this is what he did. Let me try to do this. So I think that was his tuning. That's what he played, his regular music around this tuning. If I want to go back to normal, what would I do? So, but so they're going to have user programmable tunings, multiple, you know, like the electronical system, you know, the Chris Adams' creation, which is also now works much better. They showed it that he asked me about the show. That's another thing they really upgraded much faster, multiple tunings. Then another cool thing I want to show are those rings that are outside on my Les Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really quick.
Go ahead and get
that. It's a really funny thing. They are like slides, but in form of a ring, like really nice design the fellow has, where the actual slide piece is magnetic, so that it jumps to, you know, it sort of keeps you there, you know. I'm not going to demo that because I certainly...
Well, speaking of Les Paul's, well, he's bringing that in. How hard will it be to, and I'm sure you're developing this, but how hard would it be for the Gibson guys to get something like this? Is that feasible without having to route? Because I know you have the block down there mainly for the springs, but is there any way you don't have to have the block? So like you could put it like on a Les Paul or something? Or an SG? You'd still have to route, right?
I'd still have
looking
to,
for the
know,
rings.
Oh, this should be on top of the Les Paul maybe? Or the other guitar? Oh, hold on! I got them in my pocket. My mistake. you know where they were? Where I put them? I know I have them right here. So
okay.
So here we are. Quite interesting and very creative. See, you can some of them adjustable here, right, and take a look. And the little magnetic end. Some of them curved, very artsy. Also for Steve, that will be actually a nice,
nice little ring.
Yeah, little. And I mean, I'm not going to do it justice at all now, but nonetheless, I'll you know, I'll go over there.
Oh, wow.
But Let's see, how did he have it? I think he had it, was it here? And it's magnetic, like I said. I know he did it so easy. You know, magnetic. So you get the idea. I mean, I'm certainly not doing it justice, but nonetheless, that's the... So let's say if we would go 12 string here, let's see what that would do. 12 string.
Oh, wow. You get like kind of Leo Kaki.
This thing looks just like a ring on a finger.
Right.
And it's got a little bar. With about an inch and a half bar on it.
Magnetic.
And it's magnetic.
Thomas, hold your finger up for a minute just so they can see.
There we go. So the strings jump to you.
So cool.
Different tuning now. Anyway, but you get the idea. So that's nice.
It's a lot faster, easier to grab than...
Right. No, I mean, and you have it on, you can, and this is for the right hand with a bend and shorter, also magnetic, so, that gives it another aspect, I mean, again, I'm not doing a good demo of it, but it works.
And now I want to mention... Who makes those?
It's called Sidewinder. And then really nice here. I want to bring up the new G7th generation, the Performance Capos, but they're called Performance 2 because they changed the whole design. It used to be to go down on here to open, right? Now it's going up, which is much easier because this way you hold it, right? You push it up and you land it, right? And push it up again.
Yeah, those are the capos I end up using, and that's nice.
Yeah.
I wish the one I had did that.
And they're slimmer.
Yeah.
Right? Really feel really good, to do.
They're nice capos, though, because they're very easy to install. You don't have to squeeze them. Big old... Wow.
And they make, besides the 6-string one, they make a 12-string one?
Yes.
Because that's a hard angle. I mean, I've had problems with 12-string capos. I've used different ones to get enough pressure to get all those strings.
That's the Mayday switch for you.
Yes.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. When in doubt, go out. Or do something familiar. And I'm quoting here Bruce Hampton of the Hampton Grease Band. He was in the movie Sling Blade, a good friend of Billy Bob Thornton's. And in my history, when I first came to the States, a very important person. Because really smart, really oddball. I mean, he couldn't play guitar, not even sing, but he was a performer that was awesome as we had that band. And I remember back in the 70s when I first came to the States, I was really into Albert Einstein relativity and all that. And one day I asked him, so can Bruce, what's the meaning of life? He goes, meaningless repetition.
Well, we're at the end of the show, and it's just amazing. Thank you for bringing all this stuff down. I just want to mention again to check out this tremolo. It's www.LinearTremolo.com.
Indeed.
And Don Ramsey's email address is there. You can contact him, and he can make arrangements for you if you want to get this installed on your guitar. It's an amazing system.
And this guitar is on Vi.com now.
Correct. Yes.
So it's cataloged as one of his actual guitars.
Yes. And in fact, there's a link I will give you later that you can, so for people to look at the Rect on Vi site where it actually explains all the components that are in there, from the Steinberger tuners to the Wilkinson Nut to Martin Sims UK LEDs, the Fernandez Sustainer, ATG Autotune, of course, and the Linear Trem, and Line 6 G30 wireless, new Line 6 model coming up, Line G70 and G75 with the radio.
Okay, and then also, too, you can check out Thomas. His Facebook page is called Time Speed.
Yeah.
And everything Thomas will be on there. Okay, actually, Thomas, if you want to, because you've been playing some nice, really cool Beatles songs, can you take us out with the Beatles?
Well, I'll try. Again, I'm not a guitar. Let me see.
I mean, you can bring it up an octave if you want.
Oh, yeah, right. Let's do that. Like this. Hold on. Okay.
So we'll leave you with some Beatles, and everybody have a great week. We'll see you next week.
And we want to thank Sweetwater, our sponsors.
Yes.
Mayday, mayday. Okay. All right.